Genesis chapter number 4. So good to see everybody out today. We trust it'll be a blessing to you. A number of years ago, I read an article that was in the Reader's Digest. It was about a meeting of the World Council of Churches. World Council of Churches is a very liberal organization. And it described a meeting that was held, I believe, over in Australia, if I can remember correctly. It was written back in the 1970s. And what they did, they merged all the churches together for this one big ecumenical meeting. And there were Lutherans there, and Baptists there, and Catholics there, and Methodists there, and Unitarians there, and Pentecostals there, and everybody that was a part of the World Council of Churches, by the way, we are not, they were there. And during their introduction to their ecumenical worship service, they had an Aborigines from Papua New Guinea stand up with his loincloth, all painted up with his tribal garb. He had a peace pipe and all kinds of smoke, that incense that was going up around him, and he opened the worship service in an Aboriginal dance. Now you can picture this in your mind. And then they got up there and talked about the fact that we are all serving God and we are all worshiping God, and there's many roads going to God. And that's the idea that so many people embrace today. And yet it's so untrue.
That's right.
Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." As we look at Genesis chapter number 4, we see Adam and Eve's sons. And we find a great lesson here on the very first worship service. If we do Bible study, there is a law called the law of first mention. The very first time something is mentioned, it lays a groundwork for the rest of the doctrine. And the same is true when we come to Genesis chapter number 4. There is a foundational truth about worship that is laid out. And really, all worship really will stem from what we find in Genesis chapter number 4. And I want you to notice this morning what it says in verse number 1 and following. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare, and again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." We find there in verse number 1 and 2 that more than likely Cain and Abel were twins. They had, the Bible specifically says that she conceived and bare Cain, and then she bore again. In other words, she had another child. It doesn't say that she conceived again. It's a good possibility there were twins. I guess we'll find out when we get to heaven for sure. But it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering. Notice the next three words. Unto the Lord. That's very important. He brought his offering to the right place, but we see that it was not accepted. And it goes on, it says, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, as we come before you, I pray that you'd open our eyes of understanding today. Help us, Lord, to realize that there are some worship services that are not accepted of thee. And Lord, they are rejected. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to glean some things today and, Lord, apply these truths to our life. I pray, Lord, that you'd guide and direct. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to stop and think about a few things throughout the scripture this morning. Follow along with me. Cain and Abel, they both offered before the Lord. One was accepted by the Lord, one was rejected by the Lord. Follow along with me as we take a little bit of a tour. We come to the children of Israel. Moses is up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments from the Lord. The children of Israel come to Aaron and said, "Make us gods." As for this Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. Aaron says, "Break off all your necklaces and earrings." And he threw them in the fire and he fashioned a golden calf. They began to worship this golden calf. Moses comes down off the mountain and God says, "Listen, they've fallen into idolatry." And as they worshiped, and by the way, Aaron said, "Behold, these be thy gods that brought thee out of Egypt." And so what he was doing, he was replacing Jehovah God with an idol. Was that worship accepted by the Lord? Everybody would understand, no, that's, as they worshiped, were those people sincere? Yes. But it was not accepted of the Lord. Later we find a couple men by the name of Nadab and Abihu. They were priests of the Lord. Nadab and Abihu, one of their jobs was they had to offer incense before the Lord. It was in reference to the prayers, the intercessional prayers coming up before God. And Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire before the Lord. This is all a part of worship. Did God accept the strange fire as they worshiped before the Lord? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, the scripture records that God struck them down dead. Later we find in 1 Kings chapter number 18, there was a battle that was taking place, or actually a test, I would say. A confrontation between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. And Elijah said, "Whatever God answers by fire, let him be the true God." And so we find that the people of Baal, they set up their altar and they began to dance around, and all day long they danced around the altar and they cried and they cut themselves with stones and they hollered and screamed and jumped on the altar and they said, "Oh Baal, hear us, and oh Baal, hear us." Did Baal hear? Did he answer by fire? Of course not. Elijah comes on the scene. He builds an altar. He puts the sacrifice on there. He takes water and pours it all over. Barrels of water. By the way, water and fire just doesn't go together, but it doesn't make any difference. He was proving a point. Listen, God is real. And he pours the water, so much water that the whole sacrifice, all the wood, even there was so much water, it filled a trench all the way around it. And Elijah prayed 63 words, and the fire of God fell and consumed the sacrifice, consumed the wood, consumed all the water. Did God accept the worship of those that were following Baal? No. Throughout the scripture, we find illustrations where God accepts some worship and God rejects other worship. And may I suggest to you this morning that not all worship is accepted by God. You say, "Well, preacher, they were sincere." I really think that those people were sincere that were worshiping Baal. And I believe that those people that were worshiping that golden calf, and they even had replacement theology, and they said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt, and I'm going to go ahead and worship that God because that's what I'm going to visualize as God. But that wasn't God. There's a lot that we can learn about worship from Genesis chapter 4. We see here that Cain's offering and Abel's offering was brought before the Lord. I want to share with you several things this morning. Number one, the central truth of Genesis chapter number 4 is that God is to be worshiped. We sung that song, "Oh, worship the King, all glorious above." And our goal this morning is to worship God. But God does not accept all worship according to the Scripture. And so we better make sure that the type of worship that we have is something that is God-honoring. I want you to notice the central truth of Genesis chapter 4 is that God is to be worshiped. Now there's three things I want you to notice about the worship of Cain and Abel. Number one, there is a place that God was to be worshiped. The Bible says very specifically in Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 3 that Cain brought an offering unto the Lord. He brought it unto the Lord. And we find also, it says in verse number 4, and Abel also brought the firstlings of the flock, the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering. Cain and Abel both brought them to the right place. They brought them to the right person. They brought them to the Lord. But notice what it says in Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. You know, the Bible says, and Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. In other words, when we assemble together as God's people and we worship God collectively and we worship God the right way, and we worship Him according to John chapter number 4 and verse number 24, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. God promises that He's going to be right in our midst. That's a promise from God. So number one, I want you to notice there is a place where God is to be worshipped. In 1 Kings chapter number 9 and verse number 3, it talks about the dedication of the temple, and God says, I'm going to place my name there. In the New Testament, we find concerning the church, Matthew 16, 18, it says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That church has continued on till today, and God has promised to place His presence there. You realize whether or not a church has two or three people or 2,000 or 3,000, God has promised to have His presence there. Thank God we've got more than 2 or 3 here this morning. But God has promised to give us His presence. So there was a place. And number two, I want you to notice, there also seemed to be an appointed time of worship. There needed to be an appointed time of worship. It says, in the process of time, verse number 3, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. It was a time of harvest. It was a time when God's blessings were upon them. And Cain came and Abel came. There was a time to come to worship God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul said, Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And you read throughout the New Testament, we find the disciples met together on the first day of the week. They met together the first day of the week to preach the word of God. They met the first day of the week to break bread. They met the first day of the week to preach and to worship. Listen, throughout the scripture, we find the New Testament church met on the first day of the week. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, there used to be a day when Sundays were set aside for the work of God. Matter of fact, even activities at the schools and different functions in our cities, they would not operate on Sundays or Wednesday nights because it was set aside for God. Not so anymore. Matter of fact, the farther we go away from the Lord in our society, we see that more and more things are happening on Sundays and Wednesdays in our society. It was very refreshing when I went over to Shipshawana, Indiana, and it's an Amish community over there, a great place. They got a great restaurant over there called the Blue Gate Restaurant. Of course, they have the big flea market over there on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I believe it is. And when you go over there on Sunday, there's only two things that you're going to find open: a Marathon gas station and a Subway sandwich shop. That's it. Every business, every restaurant, everything is closed down. There is nothing open. How refreshing. People are in church. People spend time together as a family. Those days in our society here are long forgotten. So number two, there seems to be appointed time to worship. John the Beloved, the one that wrote the book of Revelation, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's when God revealed to him the book of Revelation and he wrote those things down. So number one, there was a place to worship. That was the house of God. There was a time appointed to worship. We find that it was in the New Testament period, our period, it's what we would call Sunday. There was also a prescribed method of worship. We find here that they were to bring an offering unto the Lord. Cain brought the works of his hands. He says, hey, look at all that I've done. Look at how great a things that I accomplished. And he brought the fruit of the ground. He was a farmer. He probably had tomatoes and watermelon and all kinds of things that you grow in your garden. I remember a number of years ago, a man came to church and he had a whole bushel basket full of produce. And he said, preacher, I brought this for you. I says, oh man, great. He says, I'm tithing off of my garden. And so he says, I'm bringing it to the house of the Lord. He says, and it's for you. I says, praise the Lord, amen. I was all for that. And we ought to look at this passage, though, and Cain brought the works of his hand, but God did not accept that. Abel brought the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. The only way that he could offer the fat of the firstling of the flock, that fatling, that lamb, had to be slain. It had to be killed. Cain's offering, even though I believe that Cain was sincere and Cain worked hard, Cain's offering was rejected. Abel's offering was accepted. Why? Look over at Hebrews chapter number 11. Hold your place here in Genesis. You got your Bible this morning? Amen. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter number 11 this morning. It says in verse number 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. How did Abel offer his offering unto the Lord? He offered it by faith. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He offered that offering by faith. Cain offered that offering by the works of his own hand. Abel's offering pointed to a sacrifice, an atonement that he could not make. Cain's offering pointed to self-sufficiency. I want you to notice the second thing about worship. Cain and Abel represents two classes of people in our world. Saved and lost. The Bible says that God accepted Abel's offering, Cain's he rejected. They typify the lost and the saved, the righteous and the unrighteous. One comes according to faith, offering the prescribed sacrifice. The other comes another way, only offering his own righteousness. By clothing Adam and Eve with skins, God taught four great lessons to all of us. Number one, in order for a sinner to approach God, he must have a suitable covering. Before Adam and Eve could ever worship God, and before Cain and Abel could ever worship God, they had to have the righteousness of God cover them. In order for a sinner to approach God, he must have a suitable sacrifice, a suitable covering for their sins. You know, I hear people say, well, you know, preacher, what should I wear when I come to church? You know, the best answer for that is clothes. Amen? Please cover yourself. You know, one of the signs of heathenism, you read about the maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter number 5. He was running through the tombs, cutting himself, trying to destroy himself. And the Bible says that he was naked. But when he came to Jesus, he was clothed and in his right mind. That's what the scripture says. You read Mark chapter number 5. So that tells me that people that are naked are out of their right mind, right? Amen. Amen. All right. Something to think about. There needs to be a suitable covering for their sins. Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together. That was the works of their own hands. It was not acceptable to God, and God had to kill an animal, probably a lamb, we don't know for sure, and cover their sinfulness so that they could be accepted by God. The next thing we see is that God himself must provide the covering. Abraham was walking with his son. God spoke to him, and God says, Abraham, he says, here am I. He says, take now thy son, thine only son, and offer him as a burnt offering unto me. I imagine Abraham, his heart sunk. Nevertheless, he obeyed. And he got the wood around, and he got Isaac, and he said, come on, Isaac, we need to go sacrifice unto the Lord. And Isaac said to his father, he says, as they were going up the side of the mountain, he says, Father, he said, here is the wood and here is the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And God said this in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 8. God will provide himself an offering, a sacrifice. And about 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus Christ and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus Christ became our sacrifice for us. This morning we need to look at Cain and Abel and what took place. And we need to realize that God must provide the sacrifice for himself, because all of our righteousness, all of our good deeds, all the things that we do is unto God but filthy rags, according to Isaiah 64:6. There is nothing we can do to please and to appease a holy and a righteous God. God has to take care of the sacrifice. He provided it on Calvary. The necessary covering could only be provided by a suitable substitute. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Cain and Abel, they represent two great classes of people. Matter of fact, I find that in this world, there's really only two types of people. You say male and female, right? Well, that is true, all right? You are one or the other, regardless of what modern technology wants to try to do. Regardless of what people want to identify as themselves as. Listen, if you don't know what gender you are, just go to your doctor and he'll probably tell you, all right? Lord, help us all. But we need to understand this. There's really only two types of people. It's not black and white. It's not Latino or Chinese. It's saved and lost. It's not male or female. It's born again by the power of God or still lost in your sin. There is only two types. And today, listen, in our auditorium, there's only two types of people. Either you're saved or you're lost. And if you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. If you're lost, you're going to die and go to hell and spend eternity there. We need to realize that the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve had broken God's commandment and justice must be rendered. Either they must die or another must die in their place. Mercy can only come after justice has been satisfied. To Adam and Eve, God preached the basic truth of a substitutionary sacrifice. And that's what the coat of skin was about. Abel carried on that idea and he offered the sacrifice, and by faith he was counted as being righteous. The ultimate difference between Cain and Abel was not their character. The ultimate difference between Cain and Abel was their sacrifice. They both worked hard, I'm sure. Being a farmer is hard work. Being a shepherd is hard work. You got to put up with the sheep. You know, sheep aren't the best critters to go ahead and be around. You know, they bite. They really do. And you know, I've worked around sheep. They stink. They really do. They can be bullheaded. Sheep can. They will follow a person, but you can't drive them. If you try to drive sheep, they scatter. Sheep need to be led. Talking to a guy that raised sheep, he said, sheep are one of the dumbest animals out there. You know what God refers to Christians as? Sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, we are mule-headed, aren't we? We are stubborn. None of us like to be driven, but thank God we all need to be led. I'm glad that the Lord loved his sheep. There's an ultimate difference between Cain and Abel. It was not their character, but it was their offering. Abel offered a prescribed offering by faith, Hebrews 11, 4. But Cain went his own way to God. And in Jude verse 11, it says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And Abel went his own way. I want you to notice the third thing about the first worship service. We realize that some worship is accepted by God, some worship is rejected by God. We realize that Cain and Abel represent two classes of people, saved people and lost people. Saved people go to heaven, lost people go to hell. It's just that simple. And the only way you can get saved is by trusting Jesus Christ, your substitute, and asking Christ to save you. I want to just give you some things about Abel. Abel was a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter number 2 and or 4 and verse number 2, we find that Abel was a shepherd. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Over and over and over, the Lord is referred to as a shepherd. Even Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. As a shepherd, he presented his offering to God. In Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 4, Abel brought the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof and offered it to the Lord. Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he began to pray and he says, Father, take this cup from me. If it's possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And right after he prayed that, the Roman soldiers came and led him away. And they took him and beat him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They nailed him to a cross and lifted him up between heaven and earth, and there he died. As a shepherd, he presented his offering to God. And while Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Darkness was upon the whole earth, and Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And our sin was placed upon Jesus Christ. Our wicked thoughts and all those things that we've done were placed upon him, and our sin was placed upon Jesus Christ. And he bore our sins. Isaiah prophesied about what would happen 600 years before in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him, or Christ, the iniquity of us all. My friends, Jesus Christ was beaten and bruised and crucified for me and for you. It was the only way. He was the only perfect man that could be our substitute. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Listen, as a shepherd, he presented his offering to God. And as Jesus Christ was there on the cross, he presented himself before God. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5, we find that without cause he was hated by his brother. But Cain, and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. We find in the next verse, they were out in the field, and Cain rose up and slew his brother. Abel points to Jesus Christ because he was hated without cause by his brother. Jesus never did ill. He healed people. He helped people. He fed people. And yet they cried out, We will not have this man reign over us. Away with him, crucify him. They spit on him, they beat him, and crucified him. Abel didn't die a natural death. He died by the hands of a sinner. And Jesus Christ, he did not die a natural death. He died in the hands of sinners. Abel offered the firstling of the flock. Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son. His first and only Son. Abel's blood cried out from the ground, and God heard it. Jesus said, if you're silent, even the stones are going to cry out. In every aspect, our Lord Jesus Christ was typified by the death of Abel. When we look at the first worship service, God has a prescribed place. It's where the Lord meets with men. There it was an altar. Later in the Old Testament, it was a tabernacle, then a temple. And today, it's called the local New Testament church, the church that Jesus founded. There's a prescribed place. Say, oh, preacher, if I want to go out in the middle of the woods and worship God, I can worship God out in the middle of the woods. Well, you can do that. But you have to do it at church too. Because the Bible commands us to go to church. And if we're disobedient to God, then God's not going to be accepting our worship. There's a prescribed place. There was a prescribed time. And there is a prescribed method for worship. It was only through the blood of the Lamb. How are you coming to God this morning? Have you come by the way of the cross? I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. Listen, we need to go by the way of the cross. It must be God's way, not Cain's way. Today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to come this morning and let someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. You say, well, preacher, I'll make it one day. Not without Christ. You'll not make it. I remember a number of years ago, one of my high school friends called me up. It was early Saturday morning. They were in Port Clinton, Ohio. They were on vacation. He says, Rick, are you still living in Oak Harbor? I said, I am. He says, let's meet together for breakfast. I said, sure. So my wife and I got around. We went over to Port Clinton. We met Ted and Deb. That was their name. Had breakfast with them. I talked to them about the Lord. Both lost. And I said, Ted, I said, I want to show you the church. I brought him over and showed him the church building. And talked to him about the Lord. And I said, Ted, you need to get saved. I said, Debbie, you need to get saved. And I talked to him about how the Lord is going to come back and the tribulation period. And I went from Genesis all the way to Revelation for about 2 hours just talking to him about the Lord. I says, Ted, you need to get saved. And he says, you know, Rick, he says, I've been a fighter all my life. And I'll tell you what, he was. he says, I've been a fighter all my life. He says, listen, one day I'll make it. I'll make it through. I says, you're foolish. If you miss the rapture, you'll not make it through. He says, I'll make it. He says, you know, I've always been a fighter, Rick. I'll make it. I says, you can't fight against God. And I prayed for him. And we shook hands and hugged each other's neck. I think that's the last time we've seen them. Both lost. The only way is God's way. I don't care how much of a fighter you are, you can't fight against God. I would encourage you today, go God's way, not Cain's. Let's bow our head, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. There are some worship services that are accepted by God, and there are some that are rejected. Why? People come to God by their own means. We can't. We can't go by our own means. We must go God's way. And today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is the way to the Father. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, even as I pray in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and let someone deal with you at the altar and show you how you can be 100% sure that your sins are forgiven, that you're on your way to heaven. Saved. What a wonderful thought. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you bless this time. Help us realize, Lord, that there is a proper way to worship you. There is a proper place to come, a proper prescribed method to come. And it's only through the blood of Christ. We ask and pray, Lord, now that you bless this invitation, we give it to thee. In Jesus' name and for his sake, let's all stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed. As the instruments play through a verse of invitation, Jesus paid it all to him I owe.